Bewildering Stories, Issue 178, Why Do the Willows Weep? By Thomas R. Willits. Charlie Goodman sat on his porch in the morning, pretty much as he had every morning for the past 14 or 15 years, since his retirement at the age of 65. He had been a farmer. Most young kids hardly knew what that meant anymore when he told them stories at the downtown diner. He shook his head and laughed, realizing the kids of this new age were different, listened to loud music and watched television. He leaned back in his rocking chair with a toothpick the size of a pencil sticking out of his mouth and bobbing up and down as he chewed on its remains. The morning was the coolest part of the day now that July was midway into its fury, and this was Charlie's time to get out of the house. Small beads of sweat were already welling up in his face and forehead as the morning heat rose steadily and as the sun crept slowly higher and higher. Eventually, they trickled down and fell into his eyes, stinging them like one of those large bumblebees in the middle of a hayfield. He looked out beyond the porch across the front of his lawn. The old tire swing was there for his children to swing on, but they were long grown now and had children of their own. They were too busy in the city making money hand over fist to bother with a worn-out tire. Besides, with its age, it left black marks across everyone's hands every time the tire was touched and pushed. The rope didn't appear to be much long for this earth either. Wouldn't hold the weight of a horseshoe. The pond was there, too, where their children had played and swam and fished. Charlie couldn't remember the last time he'd been down to the water's edge. The pond was full now after the huge spring rain. It was quite a marvel considering that he'd built it himself some 50-odd years ago. There was a small stream already there to begin with that made the process a little easier, but the base had to be constructed with limestone bedding to keep the water from sinking into the earth, and a dam on the low end for keeping the water from running out. Charlie built it all in one hot summer. Sometimes on dry years, the pond nearly emptied, but never completely. Around the low spots in the pond were where the willows grew. He'd never planted them, they just appeared one day, as if they'd always been there. Charlie admitted, without them, the pond would look rather lonely and empty, so he let them be. With that small cluster of willows, it made a nice oasis to look out upon from his porch, each morning, sipping his coffee and thinking about his life. They were with him. He was the only one left at the farm. His kids had moved on, and grandchildren, his wife dead now for 10 years. Once he'd retired from farming, he'd let things go. He'd sold most of his farm equipment. The old International tractor for plowing was gone, and so was his hay baler and mower. The brome fields no longer grew tall, and they turned brown and went to thistle and weeds. The sheds out back for farm animals were empty. No horses, cows, pigs. All taken to the auction and sold for whatever price they would fetch that year. A few of the sheds he'd built the first year on the farm were beginning to rot and fall inward. The tin roof was beginning to become loose and fall off, and nails were turning up all over his driveway and yard. One time when Charlie was walking into an old shed, one of the tins came loose above. It came skirting down the steep slope of the roof about 30 miles an hour and nearly took off Charlie's head. He ducked just in time as it flew over and crashed loudly behind him. But Charlie was a worker. He was one of those boys that worked from early morning till dawn, every day, even on Saturday and Sunday. Rain, shine, snow, or no. It didn't matter to Charlie. When the rain or snow came, there was always work to do in the shed or the barn, and when the weather was fine, there was always a fence to repair or a field to plant or cut. When he wasn't getting anything done, he'd say, "Come on, we're burning daylight." By 11, Charlie was inside and out of the heat. He pulled himself up a chair at the table and read the morning's newspaper. Most of the stuff in there he didn't care about, except for the inside section on the auctions. He liked to keep up on what prices tractors and such were going for these days, even though he knew he had no need for one. It was just fun. Through the curtain of the window, he saw a car pulling up. He pulled it back, seeing one of those fancy cars called a BMW. His son. He'd been out a week ago to check on him and see if there's anything he could do to help around the farm. He had a life of his own, and Charlie knew it. He kept telling him not to bother coming out, because he's still as strong as an ox and smart as a whip, and so on. "I just want you to be surrounded by people that can care for you, Dad," his son told him. Charlie folded the paper in two and looked at him as though he were a politician. "I can take care of myself, boy. I don't need some young lass tucking me into the bathroom. I was out in those fields when using diapers. I think I can handle taking care of myself. Now show your father some respect." His son didn't know how to respond. His father was rigid and bullheaded and never changed his mind about something once he'd made it up. His son put an arm around him and hugged him. There were tears in his eyes when he spoke. "Dad, the doctor says you need to be cared for." Charlie sat listening, mostly wondering why his son was crying. Why was he crying? He was strong, just like him. Always had been since he was a baby and always would be. Because of your Alzheimer's. Charlie didn't say anything, and his son let him go. Charlie listened to his son about how he was having someone look at the farm next week, and in a few days he'd be back to pick him up to live at a place called Rest Haven or some BS place like that. He told him it wasn't right. If he was his son, he'd let him live his life and stop trying to interfere. His son left in his fancy car after kissing him goodbye and returned to the city where his big white house was. They had that typical white picket fence and dog in the backyard. Yellow lab or a collie. Charlie couldn't remember which. It had been a long time since he'd been there. Later that night, he sat on the porch across amidst a cool breeze. The moon was out, and it was full. By its light, he could see its long, silver reflection shimmering across the pond. The willows were there, too, waiting in the shallow water. He sat, thinking about his son and what he'd said to him. He was angry, or had been. He wasn't sure anymore. He'd said some things he wished he hadn't, and knew it was too late. He watched a strange thing closely off in the yard. The black tire swing his kids had spent countless hours on slowly faded into the darkness, followed by the rope. He watched it, fascinated from his rocking chair, as the darkness continued up the rope and into the tree. It's like watching one of those old science fiction movies from the 50s. The entire tree in the middle of the yard was vanishing into thin air. He saw two of his barns do the same thing, and then his tool shed beside them. Not a trace remained. The trees in the distance disappeared, the country road, the mailbox, all of his fence posts and fields. The sky was shrinking up too, and he could no longer see the stars. He rocked his chair back, amazed and wondered. He heard voices all around him. He turned, seeing his house gone, and his porch too went just like that. Just like the rest. He saw them waving in the distance, calling him on. He wasn't sure what was happening. Charlie watched them, unafraid, and wondered what the heck his chair was sitting on. "It's time to come with us," they told him.
"Where are we going?" Charlie asked. "I got my farm to tend to."
He looked around, but there wasn't much left. The watcher spoke softly again. "There is no farm, Charlie. You're very old now. 80 years. It's time for you to put it away. Come with us. We'll show you now. It's time to leave."
"But my son."
"They're gone, Charlie," they whispered, like a weeping willow. Charlie stood up on the black underside of nothing and walked to them. They were nice enough folks, he reckoned, and they held him close and started walking into the distance. Charlie followed them and never looked back. He saw the willow grove on his way, and they seemed to call, softly and sweeping, as if weeping. "Charlie Goodman, God, what a good man. Never a rest in his entire lifespan, except for a tear of joy, is the man I am. Rain, shine, snow or no, Charlie'll go to that place I know, down by the water where the willows grow."